Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
The stage was set. 'Twas to be the ultimate showdown. The loser would have to serve at the mercy of the victor. Rule and reign of the entire asphalt playground was the prize. The date was set. Rules of engagement agreed upon. No punching, no kicking. However, scratching, slapping, biting, and the pulling of hair has been sanctioned. After all, these were the sixth grade girls' demands. And finally, the sun rose on that fateful morning, and I, the kingpin of the sixth grade boys, I had a cough and a slight fever, so my mom made me stay home. No! I'm gonna be the laughingstock of the entire sixth grade! But alas, the very next day, at the same hour, the sun yet rose again. And I was able to make good on my promise. But this time, the all-out brawl had been downgraded via an agreement struck between the boys and the girls in my absence. It was to be Kingpin versus Queenpin. Winner take all. So there I was, face to neck. Well, it was the sixth grade. Sixth grade boys are undoubtedly shorter than sixth grade girls. So there I was, face to neck, with Wendy Winkelmeyer. Her name has been changed, both for anonymity's sake, as well as for humor. The entire sixth grade gathered around us, and it all happened in a flash. I dodged a scratch from the left. I ducked a bite. How do you duck a bite? I have no idea, but I did it. I ducked a bite from the right, and I pinned her to the asphalt playground, the victor. I myself, refusing to technically fight a girl, because after all, I was raised a gentleman, but at the same time, I was refusing to allow her to rise to her feet again because she was quite bigger than me. And suddenly, breaking through the out circle of sixth graders, comes a foot soldier, a.k.a. teacher's pet, a.k.a. Tattletale, to inform us.
Coach Hunter says that the two of you are supposed to go up to the front of the playground right now. You're in trouble.
And so, as I turned and made my way, and I ventured to fetch Coach Hunter's paddle from the office, I strode confidently to receive my due punishment alongside a weepy, drenched-faced Wendy Winkelmeyer. And it was on that day that the entire sixth grade knew it and proclaimed it aloud, who the true kingpin of the asphalt playground was. Coach Hunter. Bend over and grab my ankle, sir? Very well then. Coach Hunter, or shall I say, Kingpin Hunter. The Godfather, mob boss, crime lord, the Don, the Kingpin. These are all titles for the head or the highest ranking member of the mafia, otherwise known as the family. The Kingpin is entrusted with absolute authority. He can promote or demote you at will. And if you want to be a made member of the family, It's the kingpin who holds the ultimate key. Now, you may be here for the first time today, and you are totally caught off guard. You're wondering, what in the world does the mafia, the family, the kingpin have to do with, I don't know, with church or with God or with spirituality or with anything these days? Well, that's a great question, and it's one that I have been investigating all throughout the week. And to be honest, I've been pretty blown away by the parallels between, as Vince shared earlier, the family and the family. And that actually is one of the parallels. The mafia is known as the family, and the church is known as the family of God. Secondly, the mafia or the family, they have a kingpin, a head, right? Well, Jesus is actually described as the head of the church, and he's actually given the title of king. The kingpin is entrusted with absolute authority, and it was Jesus who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Fourth, the kingpin, he can either promote you or he can demote you at will, and he holds the ultimate key as to whether or not you can become a made member of the family, a made man. And it was Jesus who said, "No one comes to the Father, no one comes to the family except through me." And he also said, "I hold the keys." I think those are some pretty strong parallels. And if that isn't enough, here's another one for you. Did you know that the mafia has their own version of the Ten Commandments, a code that they live by? A list of thou shalts and thou shalt nots. Were you aware? I was unaware. I learned this week. Thou shalt not, and this one surprised me, thou shalt not frequent bars. Thou shalt not look at other men's wives. Thou shalt treat your wife with respect. What? I mean, who would have thought that even the mafia has standards? And along with standards, they actually have some pretty intense qualifications that they're called to. This is where I think it derails a bit whenever we are trying to draw parallels between the family, the mafia, and the family of God, the family that is the church. Because the mafia does not invite just anyone to become a made man. But as we're going to see, when Jesus extends his invitation to be a part of the family, he says that anyone is welcome. Anyone is welcome. Check out these words. It comes from Luke, who wrote kind of a biography of the life of Jesus. Luke was a doctor and he investigated these things. And he quotes Jesus as saying, "If any of you," in other words, "if anyone wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me." Now, before you get caught up in the second half of that verse, I want you to catch the first half of it. Jesus says, "If any of you," anyone. Now, some in Jesus' crowd that day might have thought, "Well, yeah, right. What's the catch? Come on, there's got to be a catch." Nope, there's no catch. No broken fingers. No, "I'm here to collect your dues." It's all laid out right there in that verse. And Jesus, when he says anyone, the crowds, they must have looked at him, and then they looked at his disciples or his students that were following him, and they must have thought, "This guy's serious. I mean, look at his students. He really means anyone." He does. So you have to understand that in Jesus' society, he was considered to be a rabbi, which means that he was a highly respected teacher of the non-mafia Ten Commandments, you know, like the original Big Ten. And to be invited to follow a rabbi, this was like a really big deal. Really big deal. And the invitation was not extended to just anyone. Most rabbis, they extended limited invitations. And when they extended them, it was only to specific potential students. There were like hefty prerequisites, kind of the equivalent of you or I getting into an Ivy League school like Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Ozark Community College. What? That's hard stuff to get into. I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, it was the same with applying to be a student of a rabbi's school. It was normally an intense, painstaking process, but rabbis, they felt like, you know what, it's important that we be thorough because the excellence of our students is going to reflect upon the excellence of their teacher, right? And if a rabbi were to say, hey, just anyone can come in, it was clear that he was not a sought-after rabbi. Now, on the other hand, if a group of a rabbi's students were like especially brilliant, then that particular rabbi would be immensely respected and admired. So when word gets out about a new rabbi who is inviting students at random, I mean, people started to wonder what was going on. I mean, they came to hear about Jesus over time, and they heard that he's speaking brilliantly. They heard that he's performing miracles, and so they come to see him, and when they look at Jesus' students, they must have been confused. They must have shook their heads and thought, those two over there, those two are the fishermen that are always hanging out of the tavern late at night. And that guy back there, he's a tax collector. I hate that guy. Who are these students? I mean, it's like the Bad News Bears. That's what they were saying, but then they hear Jesus extend the invitation, and he says, if any of you, anyone, if anyone desires to be my follower, then bring it on. Think about it. I mean, people who had given up, they had like given up on their dream of learning from a rabbi a long time ago. And now they're wondering, they're thinking, wait a minute. Would I be welcome in this new rabbi's family? And slowly but surely, people began to accept Jesus' invitation. They wanted to follow this rabbi, Jesus, and they realized that when Jesus said anyone, he meant it. He meant it. And today, just like in Jesus' day, anyone means everyone. Anyone means everyone. But here's a struggle. Though most would never say it, lots of us, we don't buy into the idea that church or family should be just for anyone. There are lots of Christians and there are lots of churches that kind of like church the way church is, you know, the way church is supposed to be, with the types of people that are supposed to be there. Unfortunately, humanity has a tendency to gravitate toward same. We gravitate toward same. Think about it. We like to eat the same food, prepared in the same way, and we sit at the same table in the same seat, don't we? Isn't that kind of the process? We do the same thing over and over. We say it the same way over and over. We even think it the same way over and over. When you go to a restaurant, what do? You order the same thing that you ordered last time. It could be the Cheesecake Factory. The Cheesecake Factory has an encyclopedia for a menu. Have you ever been there? Yeah, and you'll sit down at the table and they'll bring that book and it'll be like, and dust will fly up. You're like, wow. And you start flipping through the menu, you know, and you're intrigued and you're like, oh, honey, look at this. Doesn't this look good? Ooh, what are you gonna have? Oh, that sounds delicious. All the while, everybody at the table knows what you're going to order. You're gonna order the same thing you did the last time you went to the Cheesecake Factory. Why? Because we gravitate toward same. And before you know it, same becomes standard. We have certain standards that we strive for in this community. And in striving for those standards, standards transition from being something that we aim for, something we aspire to, and instead the standards become qualifications for being a part of the community. So the progression goes like this. Same becomes standard. Standard becomes qualification. And qualification, by definition, disqualifies so many of us. That's what qualifications are there for, to disqualify those who do not qualify. And so when it comes to an invitation to follow the one true God, some of us get the idea that the offer is no longer open to just anyone because I don't meet the qualifications. But Jesus does away with the qualifications to follow. And as kingpin, Jesus has that right. He gets rid of the long list of prerequisites and the standard application process. And this is why anyone and everyone is welcome to belong here with Verve. Everyone's welcome to belong because we hope that whenever we choose to belong, we will in time become all that God dreams each of us becomes. God's placed something unique in each one of you. We're not going to all become the same thing. We're all going to become individually what God dreams we become. This is why we have a class that's called Next Step. Next Step meets during our 10:30 and our noon services right out those doors. And Next Step is designed to help you discover who God uniquely created you to be. Not only will you learn about God's uniqueness, but you'll get some insight as to how to learn more about your uniqueness so that you can transition through your belonging and you can become all that God dreams you become. And isn't that what we want? I think we all desire to become more. I think Next Step might be your best next step. So keep that in mind. Now you might be sitting here thinking, yeah, but I mean, there's got to be some sort of unwritten dress code, you know, to be a part of this thing. There isn't. Well, then you probably have to hold a particular political viewpoint. You don't. Well, then there must be some, I don't know, some unwritten membership fee or dues that you have to pay. No, there isn't. Well, then it's an unwritten code regarding alcohol or the style of music or income bracket, or maybe it's ethnicity or movie ratings or lifestyle, or maybe you have to root for a particular team. Well, okay, you do need to root for a particular team. That would be the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah? Yeah? Down with the Dodgers and our lead pastor, Vince Antonucci. Bah. No? All right, so you don't have to root for the St. Louis Cardinals, but you would be wise to do so. You'd experience so much more joy in life. But seriously, take a look around the room today. Shoot, look up here on the stage. It's pretty apparent, isn't it? Anyone is welcome. And anyone means everyone. But when Jesus did away with those qualifications, he also did away with something else. He did away with excuses. No qualifications means no excuses. When Jesus invites anyone to follow him, he doesn't just break down the barriers that keep so many of us from learning about God. He gets rid of all of the excuses not to follow that people tend to hide behind. I mean, in Jesus' day, the average tradesman, he no longer had an excuse not to follow the rabbi. The average student couldn't point at the prerequisites and say, I don't qualify. No excuses. The single mother of four, she couldn't say, well, I wouldn't be welcome there with my kids. No. No qualifications means no excuses, which raises the big question, I think for me and for you, is what's been your excuse? What's my excuse for not giving Jesus the time, the attention, the energy that he not only deserves, but he actually desires from us? Did you know that he desires you? and he desires me? So what is it? Are we too busy? Is our marriage like in an awkward place where we don't feel like we can follow? Do the kids need our time and attention? Is it the extra work that we picked up to try to make ends meet here in Las Vegas? Is it a past that we're not proud of? Is it you feel your time is limited and it'd be better invested in other areas? Or maybe you've experienced a tragedy that you just can't quite make sense of in your mind. Why would God allow this or that? See, when Jesus did away with the qualifications, welcoming anyone, he also did away with the excuses so that none of us, has a legitimate excuse for not following him. And that's either good news or bad news for you today. It may be good news because you came today thinking, you know what? I'm not the kind of person that God's interested in. I haven't lived up to his expectations. I haven't lived up to my family's expectations. Shoot, I can't even live up to my own expectations. So he wouldn't accept me. But expectations don't matter because Jesus did away with expectations whenever he did away with qualifications. So you see, that's good news. That's good news for you. Or maybe it's bad news. Maybe it's bad news because now your excuse of not meeting the qualifications isn't acceptable anymore. And so now you're confronted with a decision that you have to make. Others of you might not like the idea of Jesus doing away with qualifications. After all, you're one of those who's used to how church is supposed to be. And wherever you're coming from, you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, boy, this sure isn't like the church that I come from. And I'm actually looking for a little bit of sameness when I come to church. After all, there are certain standards that we're all supposed to be aiming for and living up to. You might even consider them to be qualifications. But Jesus said, anyone. There are no qualifications. So for you today, that might kind of sit on your tongue as bad news. And now you're wondering, well, wait a minute. Okay, so what you're telling me is we're supposed to put up with anything and everything. This is one of those anything goes sort of churches. And I would say to you, no, this is not an anything goes sort of church. But it is an anyone comes sort of church. It is that. Here's the deal. When it comes to following Jesus, it's anyone, but it's everything. Check out that verse again. Jesus says, if anyone or if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. That sounds a little bit like everything. Take up your cross daily. It's a little bit more of everything. And follow me. That is everything. When Jesus makes his invitation, he welcomes anyone who would choose to follow him, but he makes it very clear that when you choose to follow him, it's going to cost you everything. After all, that's what it cost him. Do you remember the kingpin parallels that I pointed out at the beginning? I said, the kingpin, head of the family, Jesus is the head of the family that is labeled king of the church. The kingpin is entrusted with absolute authority. Jesus is entrusted with absolute authority. The kingpin holds the ultimate key determining whether or not you can be a made member of the family, and Jesus holds the ultimate key determining that. A final parallel that I didn't mention earlier is that it is only the kingpin who has the power to sanction hits both within and outside of the family, pronouncing upon whomever he wishes death or life. And this kingpin, Jesus, he holds that same power. And today, he pronounces over each of you life. Life. See, rather than sanctioning death for you or for me, the king of all kingpins willingly took death upon himself, dying in our place that we could be welcomed into life. That's what the family of God is. The family of God is life more abundant. And isn't that what we're looking for? Rather than weighing our life against his on a scale, rather than making each of us pay the penalty that our failures deserve, Jesus, he makes us an offer we can't refuse. You know what I'm saying? That's what he does. And it's an offer that I'm going to encourage you not to refuse. It's his life for ours. And we remember this sacrifice. We remember the hit that Jesus willingly took upon himself each week whenever we gather here as Verve. There are these candlelit tables that are located all around the room. And on the tables, you'll find a piece of bread and you'll find a cup of juice. By the way, there is gluten-free bread available at this table. We take these back to our seat. The bread is to remind us of Jesus' body that was broken for us on the cross. And the juice is to remind us of his blood poured out for us. And we eat it and we drink it and we remember and we're thankful that the greatest kingpin who ever lived offers us a chance to be a made member of the family. And he's offering you that same chance today.